what? Last Wednesday, I had the privilege of preaching at a chapel service over in Jackson, Georgia. And after sharing the message title was Armed for Battle. And after sharing the message, I asked some of these young people, there's about 40 of them. Andrew was in that crowd, weren't you, Andy? Oh, raise your hand, Andy. You were in that crowd. You know what I'm talking about. It was on Wednesday over at Pleasant Grove. And I asked the young people to interact and write down their questions. One young lady wrote this question down. Are you listening? Here's what she said. She said, Pastor, what do you do when your best friend commits suicide? Well, I wasn't expecting that question, but nonetheless, it came from this young lady. I asked who asked the question. She said, I did. I said, this really happened to you? She said, yes. And so I began to share with her. I'm not going to go into all the details, but the answer, namely, I'll just summarize, to be comforted, and it's all right to grieve, and then not only that, but wondering if the person claimed to be a Christian, and not only that, but the devil is a liar. Somebody say amen. The devil's a liar. And the devil's come to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life and give it more abundantly. And so I know the Lord would not lead anybody to do that. And then lo and behold, after I finished sharing with this group, these young people, junior high school and high school, I went to the back of the church and was talking with some of them, and one young man came up to me afterwards, and I don't think this is a confidential matter. I'm not going to name his name, but he stepped outside. We stepped out on the front porch there, right off of Highway 16, going into Jackson, and he said, Pastor, I just want to tell you that I've been going through some stuff in my life, too. And he said, I tried to kill myself. I said, really? And he pulled up the sleeves. Now, I've had this to happen to two people over the last probably 3 months. And he showed me the scars on his arm where he'd cut himself. And then he said, I took a gun and put it up to my head. I said, you did? What in the world did you do that for? He said, I was on drugs. I was on, you know, I was rebelling against God. Going through some stuff in my family. And he said, but I've come around now. Now the Lord Jesus is in my life and in my heart. I said, hallelujah. Thank God for that. But wait a minute. I want to tell you that the Lord has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And maybe you feel hopeless today. You might not be experiencing some of the things I talked about, but I believe the Lord has placed a message on my heart that it'll no doubt be an encouragement to you no matter what you're going through today. It will all, I believe, will be an encouragement. By the way, did you hear about the little boy? I couldn't help but to think of it. The little boy that lived in Louisiana, and he lived over by the bayou. How many know what I'm talking about? Louisiana, the bayou. Well, how many of y'all remember, some of you remember this. I remember from going on the mission field, I've seen some of those outhouses. How many of y'all are old enough to remember that you used to have an outhouse, all right? Very good, you remember that. Well, I heard about this old boy. He had an outhouse at his house over in Louisiana, and before he went to school, he decided he was going to knock that outhouse over in the bayou, so he pushed it over into the bayou. Well, everything was okay. He went to school. He came back. On his way back from school, his daddy met him at the front door, and his daddy was not a happy camper. He said, son, he said, did you knock that outhouse over in the bayou? The little boy said, yes, sir, I did. He said, but daddy, and the daddy said, bend over, son, I'm going to have to give you a spanking. The boy said, daddy, daddy, I learned today in school that George Washington chopped down the cherry tree. But he told his daddy the truth, and so his daddy didn't get a spanking. Daddy, George Washington chopped down the cherry tree, but he told the truth, daddy, and he didn't get a spanking. So, daddy, I'm telling you the truth, daddy. And the daddy said, yes, son, that may be true. But George Washington's daddy wasn't in the tree when he chopped it down. You'll have to think about that for a minute, okay? Hey, look, hold on until he comes. Hold on until he comes. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation. I love the book of Revelation. It's becoming one of my favorite books in all the Bible. I've got a lot of favorite books in this old book right here. But I do love the book of Revelation. Y'all like it? I love the book of Revelation. And we're looking today at chapter 2. Now, it hadn't been long ago that we were focusing on the book of Revelation, but the Lord's really been speaking to my heart primarily of one verse in the book of Revelation, chapter number 2. And the title of the message is this, hold on, don't let go till he come. Hold on, don't let go until he come. How many know that God knows what he's doing? And there's some of us today that we're in a tailspin of doubt or fear or insecurity or anxiety. Anxiety is just becoming an epidemic. I mean, it's just becoming such a thing that, my, we're facing these things. And some of you know what I'm talking about. But I want to tell you something. Y'all listen to me. How many believe that God can give you peace no matter what? How many believe that it's the Lord, the one that is the one we ought to trust? And I'm afraid to say we're depending on this and that and other sources instead of Jesus to give us the grace and peace we need. Y'all listen now, I love you, but I got to tell you this. I fear that a lot of times we just come to church, but we really don't follow through what God's talking to us about. We just kind of sit there and we don't really apply the Word of God to our life. I don't know what's the misconnection or the disconnection. I don't know. Maybe it's my fault. Maybe I'm not really doing a good job at trying to communicate the Word of God. Or maybe it might be you that maybe you're just not obeying the Lord. It's important to obey the Lord. It's important to do when God puts something on your heart. How many of y'all believe that God can save you a lot of money? I said God can save you a lot of medical bills and doctor bills. If we'll listen to God and do what God tells us to do, I'm telling you, now not all, I'm not anti-doctor and anti-medicine. God uses medicine, God uses doctors, but there's a lot of times, listen to me, there's some unconfessed sin in our life, or maybe some stuff that's not right in our life, and we don't, rather than getting it right with God on Sunday morning, we feel like, well, I got to go do this, and I need this, and we got unresolved conflicts in our life, instead of doing what God's telling us to do, and then God resolving the issue. How many believe that God made us? Amen. God knows us. God knows us. He made us. He knows that we're not made to house guilt. And so I want to encourage you as we look today at this matter of God knows what you're going through. The devil tells you nobody knows what you're going through. The devil says, you're different, and the enemy's a liar. Yes, he is. Amen. And he's been lying to some of y'all. He's been lying to some of us. Last night, I was up real early, about 2:30 this morning, and could not sleep, and I was just thinking and praying, and I thought, Lord, the devil sure is a liar. But thank God Jesus came to give us grace and truth, and he came to set us free. So I'm reading today from the book of Revelation chapter 2. Hold on, don't give up until he comes. Hold on, don't give up until he comes. If you'd like to stand as we read the wonderful word of God, you can do so right now. Revelation chapter 2. I'll not take a lot of time to talk about the historical background of Revelation. Those of you that come on Sunday night know we're studying through the book of Revelation. We're already down to the church of Smyrna, fixing to go into the church of Pergamos. However, today we're going to proceed on, skip over the church of Pergamos, and go right into the church of Thyatira. There's a phrase here, there's a verse here that really is special to my heart. I believe God's going to use it today in your life. I really do. And I thank God for what he's going to do. In the book of Revelation chapter 2, John, of course, gets the revelation from Jesus Christ. God the Father gives it to God the Son. God the Son gives it to an angel. An angel gives it to John. Seven literal churches. Chapter 1, the glorified Christ. He's not hanging on a cross anymore. He's risen from the grave. He holds the keys to death and hell. Oh, yes. And then chapter 2, he begins, John, that is, seven literal churches. By the way, in present-day Turkey, had the privilege of going to every one of these archaeological sites just a few years ago. And so we come to the church, not only of Ephesus, a busy church, but a backslidden church, and the church of Smyrna, a pure church, but a persecuted church, and the church of Pergamos, a warm church, but a worldly church. Now we come to the church of Thyatira, a fruitful church, but a feminine church. A woman evidently named Jezebel was causing havoc in the church. But John says some wonderful things that I believe are going to be a blessing to you today. So, zero in, if you will, in verse number 25. For the sake of time, if I would not do injustice to the Word of God, but I just want to draw your attention to verse 25, and then we'll read through the rest of the chapter. Here we go, verse 25. But that which you have already, hold fast. Hold fast. Say that with me. Hold fast. Say that with me again. What does that mean? It means hold on. That's where I get the title of the message. Hold fast. And And then look what he says, till I come. Let's put that together. Hold fast till I come. Say it with me. Hold fast till I come. One more time. Hold fast till I come. How many believe that Jesus is indeed coming? He's coming. I said he's coming. It don't matter whether you believe it or not. He's coming. Oh, yes, he is. One day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. Just because he hadn't come yet doesn't mean he's not coming. I've got proof to tell you he is coming. And so God's saying, hold fast. Hold on. Don't let go until he come. Now, keep reading. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I have give power over the nation. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, if we had time, we would go in more detail with these latter verses, namely verses 26, 27, 28, 29. This is no doubt a picture of the millennial reign when Christ comes and sets on his throne for 1,000 years. And thus the church, we will come back with him, praise God, and rule and reign with him. However, my focus is not on the latter verses at this point, but on verse 25. Hold fast till I come. Hold fast till I come. Father, I thank you that you have sure encouraged my heart through this text today. And I know that other people here today need encouragement. I know other people today, Father, are fighting battles. And I'm convinced, Lord, that some are feeling weary and worn down by the world, the flesh, the devil. And I pray, dear God, there'll be the power of your resurrection. There'll be your glory and your anointing to come and to dwell in our hearts and to bind the enemy. And Father God, that Jesus would see you in your glory and that you'd motivate us to keep running the race, fighting the good fight of faith. Lord, that you help us to keep our eyes on you. Keep us from distractions. Keep us, dear Lord, from delusions and deception. And bring us into the light as you're in the light. We bless you today. We love you today. And I'm asking, dear Lord, to quicken your word in every heart. Help us to love you and help us to serve you. And help us, dear God, to obey you today as you speak through your word. And I thank you for those that have come. I bless you for every mama. I bless you for every daddy. I bless you for every marriage here today. Every teenager here today. Every young person here today. Every grandparent here today. That God, that you'll fill our hearts with your, Lord, faith, hope, and love, knowing that you are in control and that we're in your hands and that we can trust you, hallelujah, and that you're going to see us through. I just want to say glory, Lord. I just want to say glory, 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 glory. I want to join with that throng of angels in heaven right now and those that have gone on before us singing the songs of the redeemed. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. So, Father, manifest your glory. Meet every need. Save the lost. Bring Holy Ghost conviction and bring Holy Ghost comfort. And bring Holy Ghost encouragement today. And we thank you what you're going to do. It's all about you. Oh, give us ears to hear you. And give us eyes to see that which we cannot see with our physical eye. And hearts that believe, Lord, what you tell us. And when all said and done, we will thank you because you are worthy. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for saving me. And I pray now that God, you'd wake us up, that you'd, oh, Father, renew us and revive us again. And we thank you now for those, what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, the name above every other name, Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, and amen. Take your Bibles now as you sit down and notice here's where we're going in the text today. There are three stop signs that you and I need to stop. Why? Hold on. Don't let go until it comes. Three stop signs. Here they are. The Lord led me to develop this three stop signs. Number one, and I'll show you in a moment. Number one, where do you need to hold on? Where do you need to hold on and not let go until it comes? Where do you, I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you. Where do you need to hold on and not let go until he comes? I believe there's some of us today that This is going to be personal to us, no doubt about it. Number two, not only where, but number two. Hey, look, not only where do we need to hold on, but notice right here. Number two, why do you need to hold on? Why do you need to hold on and not let go until Jesus comes? First, where do you need to hold on and not let go until Christ comes? Hold fast until I come. Number two, why do you need to hold on? Here's where we're going in the message today. Number three, what if you don't? What if you don't hold on and you let go before Jesus comes? Hold fast till I come. Hold fast till I come. How many today are ready to give up? How many today are ready to quit? How many today are weary and worn again? How many today are frustrated? How many today are irritated? How many today are bombarded with stuff? Information overload. Problems on every hand. Troubles we can't fix. You know where I'm going with that. You know exactly where I'm going with that. Hey, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Hey, I'm glad that God can surely carry our heavy load today. If you let him, you're trying to carry it yourself. And what you need to do is just take that load and say, dear God, I need healing for the past. I need help for the present. I need hope for the future. And the church said, that's a good place to say amen. Because some of you know right where I'm talking about. And you right there, regardless of who you are, we all need help for the present and healing for the past and hope for the future. Number one, notice with me why, first where, rather, do you need hold on? Where do you need to hold on and not let go? Where do you need to hold on and not let go? By the way, that word hold fast, notice what the word kratio. Kratio is the word, kratio, hold fast, kratio. It means to hold on. And that's where I derived the title of the message, hold fast. Say that with me, hold fast. One more time. I would to God that you'd get your hand and say, God, I've been ready to let go of my children. They're not doing right. They're not living right. I'm about frustrated with my job. I've got stress on every hand. I don't know about my husband and my wife. I can't change them, Lord. My health is failing. Oh, God, I feel like I'm sinking, dear God. Hold fast. Hold fast. Hold fast. Kratio, that is, be strong. That is, take a hold of. I'll tell you what, there are times in our life, see if I can get a witness here. There are times in our life when the world comes crumbling down on us. There are times in our life, things we cannot control. There are times in our life that people don't do what we want them to do. There are times in our life that we feel helpless, and there are times when we feel hopeless. But that's right where God will step into your life. If you'll just take the first step, if you'll wave the white flag of surrender, if you'll say, God, help me to hold on, hold fast till I come, hold fast till I come. May I suggest to you at least three areas whereby we need to hold on. Three areas. You ready? Here they are. Number one, hold on to your family. Hold on. Don't let go of your family until he comes. How many are ready to give up on your family? I mean, tell me, mamas. Now, daddies, you're not probably ready to give up as much as mamas or really have a broken heart today. How many mamas? Don't raise your hand. How many mamas have got a wayward child? How many mamas have got or daddies have a son or a daughter that's not maybe in the will of God, or maybe not respecting you as you feel like, or not appreciating you as you feel like, and you're about ready to give up? You don't know what you're going to do. You don't know if they're going to change. You're asking God to help you. Hey, look, hold on. Don't let go of your family, number one. I love the book of Psalm chapter 127. The psalmist said it this way. He said, oh, yes. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. It is vain to rise up early and to sit up late, for he giveth his beloved sleep. Yea, children are a heritage of the Lord, a gift of God. Blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them. He shall not be ashamed. He shall speak at the enemies at the gate. Hold on to your family, number one. Hold on to your family, number one. Here it is. Where do you need to hold on and not let go until Jesus comes? Hold on and don't let go of your family, number one. I could derive the text of verse 23 where this Jezebel, John said that her children are going to reap the consequences of this particular woman, but whether she be really named Jezebel or not is debate among scholars. However, I'm talking about your family today. Your family today. How many believe? Listen to me. Y'all can play church if you want to. I didn't come to play church today. I didn't come to play religion today. I've got a feeling if we're not careful, we can get in a routine of coming to church and playing church, meaning we just hear a sermon or hear a message, and we just say, well, I like that, or that was good, rather than saying, God, you're speaking to me. God, I've got trouble in my life. God, I've got problems I can't fix. Lord, if you don't pull me through, I'm a sinking ship. I'm telling you, when we get desperate for God, that's right where God steps in. And there are times in our life when we need to get desperate for the presence and the power and the glory of our Lord in our life. God, I've got to have your presence if I'm going to love my neighbor. Somebody say amen. Oh, yes. Lord, I've got to have your power if I'm going to be the witness you've called me to be out in this old sin-sick world, this corrupt culture, and this deceptive, devil-possessed world. Well, hold on to your family. How many believe that God says, whatever you're going through, my grace is available for you? Ah, this is good news, beloved. I said his grace is available for you. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. How many need a little bit of extra grace today? You say, Pastor, I need some extra grace today. I don't know if y'all are facing spiritual battles like it seems like we're facing on every hand. Is there anybody here going through some spiritual battles? Is there any mamas here going through some spiritual battles? Are there any daddies here that are going through spiritual battles? Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Don't let go until Jesus comes. Hold on to hope. Hold on to faith. Hold on to love. I'm telling you, God said, I've got love that you'll never exhaust it. I'm come to tell you today, the Lord said, his grace would be absolutely amazing. His love would be unconditional. He'll pour into us what we can't do of ourselves. I'm so glad to tell you today that, praise the Lord, the Lord said, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. How many need God to refresh your heart today? Amen and amen and amen. Oh, yes, hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Don't let go until he comes. Why? I dare say there's a lot of us today, mamas and daddies, right here in the house of God. You're not together on stuff. Come on, talk to me. You're not together on stuff. You're not unified. And God said, hold on to unity. You think this, you're pulling here, you're pulling here, and instead of pulling together, may I suggest to you today that the Lord said, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, they shall ask, it shall be done for them, my Father in heaven, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. May I suggest to you today again, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalm 133, verse 1, it is like the precious, the oil running down the beard, even Aaron's beard, down to the skirts of his garment. Unity. There's some mamas and daddies and young people, you've become distant from your loved ones. You've gotten a bad attitude. Is there anybody here that's battling a bad attitude? I'm telling you, every day I battle a bad attitude. Can I get an amen? Am I preaching to the choir now? I said, am I preaching to the choir now? Is there anybody here that say, bless God, Pastor, I battle with a bad attitude. I need to hold on and not let go until Jesus comes. Your attitude will control your altitude. There's some of us today that we've had a negative outlook toward life. And God's saying to us today, hold on. Don't let go until Jesus comes. I was reading just the other day that a renowned CEO of a major corporation, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was an airplane corporation. I think it was Southwest or one of those air industries. And this CEO just passed away back in January, I believe it was. And here's the policy, the principles that the CEO operated all for his whole lifetime. I like what he said. He said this. He said, the first thing I notice about an employee, if they have a bad attitude, but they've got all the skill in the world. I don't need them. He said the number one thing I look for is a good attitude. Why? Because he says we can teach skill, but it's hard to teach a good attitude. Oh, yes, it is. And the question is, do you got a bad attitude? You see, your attitude, you need an AA, an attitude adjustment. Wait a minute. I need an attitude adjustment. Wait a minute. Hold on. Don't let go. Why? Because our attitude gets rotten. We start whining and complaining and bellyaching about the blessings of God. How many could stand up and shout and say, God's sure been good to me? How many could say, ah, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. God just keeps pouring out blessings on us, and he just keeps shining on us, and he keeps on and restoring our health and healing our bodies and supplying our needs. Somebody ought to say, thank God, God's been good to me. Oh, don't let go until he comes. Don't let go of your family. And speaking of that, I heard about a man speaking, there's a difference in slowing down and letting go, stopping. One man came up to a stop sign. He looked both ways. He proceeded on through the stop sign. About that time, without coming to a complete stop, a police officer saw him, turned on his blue lights, and it wasn't Walmart, all right, the blue light special. He drove up behind him. He got out of his car. He came over to the window. He said, sir, did you notice in that four-way stop sign you did not come to a complete stop? The man in the car said, well, I looked both ways. I just slowed down. There's no difference in slowing down and stopping. The police officer said, there's a stop sign, sir. You're supposed to come to a complete stop. The man said, I just slowed down. There's no difference in stopping and starting. The police officer said, sir, there's a stop sign. It could have gotten somebody hurt. You're supposed to come to a complete stop. The man said, I came to just a rolling, you know, there's no difference in stopping and slowing down. About that time, the police officer had enough. He grabbed the man by the head. He grabbed his billy club, and he started beating him on the head. And he said, you want me to slow down or you want me to stop? All right. Which one you want me to do? There's a difference in slowing down and difference in stopping. Hold on. Don't let go of your family. How many mamas and daddies need to come together today? How many husbands and wives need to come together today? Y'all listen to me. Look up here just a moment. Everybody look up here. There are no perfect families. There are no perfect families. There are no perfect parents. There are no perfect children. There are no perfect husbands and no perfect wives. We live in an imperfect world, and therefore, the sooner we learn that we all live in a dysfunctional world, the better off we are. Now, there's nothing wrong with having aspirations and goals for your family, but the truth be known that God's grace is available, and thank God for his forgiveness in our life. Some of you today need to hold on. And you need to let go of some of the unforgiveness or maybe some of the bitterness you're feeling, maybe some of the anger you're experiencing. Hold on. Don't let go until he comes with your family. But I want to tell you another area that you need to hold on, not let go until he comes. Number two, hold on and don't let go when you're going through adversity. Is there anybody here going through adversity? I said, is there anybody here going through adversity? Yeah, I'm looking at some faces right now. I know you're going through adversity. Let me give you some scripture. In the book of Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10, Solomon said, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Yes, that's easier said than done. But wait a minute. Are you going through a time of trouble in your life? Hold on. Don't let go until it comes. You need hope today, don't you? I said you need hope today, don't you? I said somebody ought to be honest with God today. You say, bless God, I've gotten bad news. Or I don't know which way I'm going to turn. I've got an insurmountable mountain. Hold on. Hold on. Don't let go until it comes. There's nobody that can encourage us like the Lord encourages us. So there's some of you today. You say, oh, listen, brother, listen, I'm going through a time of adversity in my life. And so God's saying, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Yes, hold on. Don't let go until he comes. I'm telling you, yes, he's coming like a thief in the night. Number three, hold on and don't let go of your priorities. Oh, yes. Not only your family, not only adversity, but your priorities. Hold on. Don't let go of your priorities. Hey, look, there's some of you that came today, and you're very disciplined, and I appreciate that so much. It'd have been easy to stay home. It'd have been easy to go to the lake. It'd have been easy to go to the ball game. It'd have been easy to go to the race. It'd have been easy to stay home, watch television. But no, hold on to your priorities. I may suggest to you the Lord Jesus demands first place in our life. He doesn't just suggest it, he demands it. Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say do? That's Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. And the Lord has said this, our priorities, tell me, are your priorities in line? Hold on, don't let go up to your priorities. Jesus said it this way in the book of Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 in the context of needs. That is food and clothing, etc. Seek ye first, not second. First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. Priorities. I'm telling you, I love my neighbors, and we're supposed to love our neighbors. And I have the privilege to minister to the neighbors. But listen, beloved, what are your priorities? Do you love the Lord? Do you really love the Lord? Are you determined that you're going to obey God no matter what? Are you purposing in your heart that you might have to let some friends go? He that walks with wise men should be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Hold on, hold on, hold on to your priorities. Hold on to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Hold on. Jesus said, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Hold on to your priorities. Yes, not only seeking God, but no wonder the psalmist in Psalm 37:4 said, delight thyself in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of that heart. No wonder Paul said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Hold on to your priorities. Tell me, is your job more important than God? Is your money more important than God? Are your friends more important than God? Is your family more important than God? Anything else more important than God? Oh, hold on, hold on, hold on to your priorities. Why? Because our Lord's coming again indeed. And that leads me to number two. Number two, not only where should we hold on and not let go? But notice number two. Why do you need to hold on? Number one is where. We talked about our family. We talked about when we're going through adversity. We talked about our priorities. Now we're moving to number two. Why do you need to hold on and not let go until Jesus comes? Now, I want to camp here just for a moment. I want to spend a little time right here. Why do I need to hold on and not let go until Jesus comes? I want to tell you why. Because of the failures of the past. How many failed in the past? Come on, let me see your hand. You failed in the past. Every one of us have failed in the past. But don't let the devil work on you and keep on heaping you with guilt. I came to tell you today, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And when you're set free by the Lord, you're set free indeed. And when the Lord adopts you in his family, he seals us by his Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. He said, out of our innermost being flows rivers of living water, and the truth has set us free. And he is the vine, and we are the branches. It's a love relationship. In him we live and move and have our being. In him we have all and abound. We become the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Oh, yes, we're loved by the Father. We're kept by the double grip of God unto the day of redemption. And we're on our way to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, and don't let go. Don't let go until Jesus comes. He's coming again. How many believe that he's coming again? I said, how many believe that he's coming again? I believe it with all my heart. In fact, if I had time, and I won't have time, but just a little time to tell you about the events that are going on right now.
you realize the Lord is coming, and His first coming will be the rapture of the church. I believe that will be imminent. That is, any moment. Hold on until it comes. Hold on until it comes. No wonder John said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, "My little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, you shall not be ashamed before at His coming." Tell me, would you have been ashamed last night of what you were watching on television at 9 o'clock, at 8 o'clock? Tell me, what kind of movies have you been corrupting your mind with? I'm not being legalistic. Tell me, what kind of thoughts is your thought life? How are you treating people these days when you leave church? Can I tell you something? When you leave church, are you acting like a heathen? When you go to Walmart and go to these restaurants, do you talk ugly to people? Hey, that's a bad testimony. Man, the Bible says, they know we pass from death into life because we love the brethren. And by this all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. That's John 13:35. That's 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. And so, hold on. That rapture, the sounding of the trumpet could happen in a moment. I believe that with all my heart. Nothing has to take place. I think I was telling you last week when I had the privilege of preaching over in Forsyth, Georgia at Dairy Queen. A man spoke up and said, "Pastor, do you believe anything needs to take place before the Lord comes back again?" And I just simply said this. I didn't have time to go into great detail, but I did say this. I believe the next event on God's calendar, the imminency, is hanging overhead. Nothing needs to take place. Brother, are you seeing what's going on in our world? After the rapture of the church, the Antichrist will emerge. And it's described in the book of Daniel, chapter number 11. Five personalities, Antichrist being one. What is the Antichrist going to do? I want to tell you what he's going to do. He's going to confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. We find it in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, and verse number 27. He shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease and the overspreading of the abomination, even unto the consummation. The Antichrist, after the rapture of the church, you know what's going to happen in heaven? I'll tell you what's going to happen in heaven. We are going to be married to the Lamb of God. He is the bridegroom. We are the bride. Yes, no wonder Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to a prayer place for you." Hold on till it comes. I go to a prayer place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. At where I am, there you may be also. That's right. The snatching away, the great evacuation is going to take place. And then the Antichrist will emerge. You know what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. I believe at the beginning of the tribulation, maybe 6 months or perhaps a little later in the tribulation, the Antichrist, there will be a war. Some refer to it as the scripture in Ezekiel 38:39, Gog and Magog. In fact, you can see on this particular diagram what's going to take place. Hold on. Don't give up until it comes. Have you been watching the news lately? Have you been listening and taking note to Russia? They are that Putin is the man of the hour. They slipped right in Syria. They made their presence known, and now America has evacuated Syria. Would that be good or bad? The muscle man, Putin, and Russia. They are the bear that's just been hibernating, and furthermore, they are the Gog and Magog. Gog being ruler, Magog in Ezekiel 38 is none other than Russia. Why? Because if you trace Bible history, you find out, I don't have time to go into all the detail, simply to say, if you'll notice the location above the Black Sea, the sons of Japheth, who are they? Meshach, Tubal, Togarmah. Study your Bible. Genesis chapter 10, Meshach, Tubal, Togarmah. These are three boys. Where do they relocate? Today is a modern day Turkey. Well, it just so happens, Russia and Turkey. You know the madman that's the leader of Turkey? You know what his name is? Erdogan. Erdogan is made no bones about it. He is out to make a caliphate. That is Islam and Muslims to conquer the world. And that's his ultimate goal. And so you got Russia, you got Turkey. What about Iran? Iran's in the picture indeed. We are the big Satan. Israel is the little Satan. And I'll just say this. I don't know what the future holds as far as Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel. But if you've done any study on this or have been reading the news lately about this, by the way, most of the news in America is just trying to throw mud on Donald Trump. They won't tell you about a lot of this stuff. But anyway, that's another story in itself. But I'll say this, Netanyahu, there's speculation as to whether he'll be voted in as Prime Minister. Hold on. Don't let go until it comes. These coalition of nations, along with the king of the north. I wish I had time to deal with this. I'll have to deal with another message. The king of the north and the king of the south. I want to give you several passages of scripture. You ready for them? Here they are. Ezekiel 38, 39, Daniel chapter 11, and Revelation chapter 19. Did you get all those? Good. Well, Zechariah chapter 14, here's the deal. There's going to be some nations invade Israel. And if you read Daniel 11, I was up, like I said, real early, about 3:30 this morning reading. And I was just pouring in, and God was blessing my heart as I was reading again. And I was been thinking about it the last couple of days. And the king of the north, Syria, is going to come in and going to be after the Antichrist. As well as Egypt. Why? I'll tell you why. Simultaneously. Keep in mind that the Antichrist steps on the scene. The church is raptured up at yes, we're gone, up and away, gone to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be the Lord. The Antichrist confirms the covenant with Israel. Peace and safety, peace and safety. I'm going to protect you, says the Antichrist. But you know what happens? Then the Antichrist makes his way over to guess where? Rome. Why? Because that's the infrastructure of, I believe, the Antichrist, the political one world government and the one world religious ruler. The Antichrist will be there. And yet Syria will invade Israel again from the north. But meanwhile, these coalition of nations, they're going to come together in God's timing. I don't know when, but I know it's going to happen. And you know what they're going to do? According to Ezekiel 38, they're going to come from the north. And why do I believe it's going to be during the tribulation? Because the Bible teaches it'll be unwalled cities in the days of Ezekiel 38. Well, when has Israel ever had unwalled cities? They've always been at war. However, the pseudo-Messiah, the Antichrist, will again provide and promise them protection. But here's what's going to happen. These nations, by the way, predominantly they are Muslim. Russia, Gog, Magog, Magog, Meshach, Tubal, Tagarma, and then Persia is listed in Ezekiel 38, verse 5, Persia. That's Iran, modern-day Iran. Others listed in Ezekiel 38, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iran, and they will come against Israel. You know what God's going to do? He's going to intervene. And fire will fall from heaven. And, hail will fall from heaven. And God will confuse them. Bottom line, five-sixths of their army will be totally destroyed. That's why I don't believe the Muslims, Islam, will be a predominant figure in the end time at the Battle of Armageddon. I'm telling you, the Lord is going to, you can read it, Ezekiel 38 and 39. But, meanwhile, the Antichrist is going to run over here from Rome and say, I did it. Look what I did. And try to usurp authority over the Almighty God. And so that's all leading up to the battle of all battles, namely the battle of Armageddon. Yes, where the armies of the East, China, North Korea, hello, that's in the book of Revelation chapter 16 and verse number 12. You know President Trump met with Kim Jong-un, whatever his name is. He called him Little Rocket Man, all right? Little Rocket Man, I'll say that. But they're going to come from the east, the Euphrates River. And I'm telling you, all this is coming to pass. Hold on. And they'll merge there in the Valley of Megiddo. But wait a minute. Are y'all listening? Christ will come back again in not his rapture, but in his second coming. I derived that from the book of Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and the Lord shall go forth to fight against the nations as he did in the day of battle. His feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives. Jesus will come back, not in the air. Rather, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in two from the east to the west, and there shall be a great valley. We're talking about the second coming of Christ. And by the way, I'll show you when this event, chronologically speaking, is going to take place. It's right here. Not the rapture right here, but the second coming. We'll come back with him. That's where Revelation 2 comes into play. That's where the church of Thyatira, where he said, we'll rule the nations. We'll come back with our Lord. We will be married with the Lord in heaven, the marriage of the Lamb. We'll have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Many believe on earth, me included. But when he comes back, leading up to this climactic consummation of human history, what's going to take place? I'll tell you what's going to take place. The blood is said to flow at the height of the horse's bridle, some 200, really 180 miles long. Now, that's not far-fetched, beloved, when you consider all the armies of the world and the Antichrist and his armies merging. Where? In the valley of Jezreel, the valley of Megiddo, 64 miles long and 10 miles wide, it's a beautiful, perfect battlefield. What's going to happen? The Lord, listen to what John said. Hey, hold on, hold on, hold on. Don't let go until he comes. What's going to happen? John said, I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse. He that sat on him is called faithful and true. And in righteousness he to judge and make war. His eyes are a flame of fire. On his head are many crowns. He hath a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. I saw the armies in heaven which followed him. Who are the armies in heaven? We are the armies in heaven. I saw the armies in heaven which followed him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword that he should smite the nations. He that treads upon the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. You say, preacher, I don't care about all this Bible prophecy. You need to care, because there's lost people that care about it and they don't know what's going to happen, and they need to know that we have read the last page. Amen and amen and amen. The people of God need to know the Word of God. Why? Because the Lord has kept his promises in the past. He's keeping his promises in the present. But you can rest assured, he's not finished yet. Oh no, he's coming in a cloud of glory with 10,000 of his saints. No man knows the hour. No, not the angels in heaven, but the Father only. Matthew 24 and verse 36, as in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Two shall be in a field, one to be taken, one to be left. Two women grinding at the mill, one to be taken, one to be left. Be also ready, for you think not the hour. The Son of Man comes. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Don't let go. Why? Until he comes, until he comes, until he comes. And I say, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And he's going to usher in his millennial kingdom. Look at this. After he comes and annihilates the armies, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that should smite the nations. He'll make his way. I'm going to have to leave out a lot of stuff because my time's gone. But the millennial reign, 1,000 years, he sets up his millennial kingdom, and there shall be no end. I say, praise God. You think your life's getting out of control. You think that God's not in control. I want to tell you, brother, sister, everything's under God's control. He's ruling and reigning, and one of these days, he's going to say, it's enough. And bless the Lord, holy God's going to rise, and his enemy's going to be scattered. Hold on, child of God. Hold on, soldier of the cross. Hold on, men of God, women of God. Why? Till he come. Yes, Lord, even so come. Even so come. Well, hold on, because there's hope. There's hope in the future. Yes, there's hope in the future. Hold on, I've got to bypass my very last point. What if you don't hold on? If you don't hold on, you're going to fall down. That's what's going to happen. You'll fall down. Watch the eastern sky. Hold on. Hold fast to your feet, you saints. Hold his banner high. Jesus is coming back soon. He who promised does not lie. Oh, no. Hold on. Hold on. Now, listen, beloved. At least we can do is pray for our neighbor. At least we can do is pray for our neighbor. Can I tell y'all something? I'm not bragging or boasting about this, but I just want to share this with you as a word of testimony, word of praise. The Lord has burdened my heart. We've been told about love your neighbor, right? Well, you got a neighbor on your heart. The Lord been burdened my heart, and God just spoke my heart to go over my neighbor's house. I wave, and I've seen them, and so forth. They moved in not long ago, and I've been wanting for the proper time. Get this. Get this. My neighbor had a cast on his leg. I saw him hobbling along.
I thought, and he works with evidently vinyl siding or roofing, whatever. And God said, now's the time, now's the time, now's the time. You can make haste now. When there's a need, that's a good time to love your neighbor. That's a good time to love your neighbor. And the Lord put it in my heart to go love my neighbor. And I'm not going to tell you what the Lord told me to do, but I'll just tell you this. God gave me grace to do it. Guess what? Last Sunday night, got home. This has only been about 2 weeks ago. Last Sunday night, I got home and had a card in the door. A special thank you. Here's what it says. Randy, we just wanted to say thank you for your incredible thoughtfulness. We were truly touched that you thought of us. And I'm just telling what this person said. People like you are a blessing to have for a neighbor. Wow. Please. And then this person said, I'll just tell you what they brought over. Some cookies. See what you can do if you love your neighbor? Amen. They brought some cookies over. They said, please accept these cookies as a symbol of appreciation. We hope all is well with yours. Love, Brandy Mitchell. I just filled out a card. I just put it in the box over there. Guess whose name's on it? Brandy and Mitchell. And God just had us. I didn't go and beat him over the head with the Bible. I just felt led to go over the Lord, but I'm building a bridge. And it wasn't the proper time. Are you going to love your neighbor? Let's stand together, can we?